The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Chapter 14. Imagine the Future Socialist Society. "We know what you're against. What are you for?" is a question often asked of socialists. Socialism can be summed up simply. These words by Eugene Debs are clear and elegant. Quote, "The earth for all the people. That is the demand. The machinery of production and distribution for all the people. That is the demand. The collective ownership and control of industry and its democratic management in the interests of all the people. That is the demand. The elimination of rent, interest, and profit and the production of wealth to satisfy the wants of all the people. That is the demand. The end of class rule, of master and slave, of ignorance and vice, of poverty and shame, of cruelty and crime. That is the demand." End quote. Socialism cannot come from ready-made utopias, but must be created by workers themselves. That doesn't mean, however, that we have no idea what a future socialist society would be like, or how it might develop. The initial basis for socialism is the working class solidarity that is forged in struggle prior to workers coming into power. In these struggles, racist, sexist, and xenophobic ideas begin to break down. The mass struggles that are necessary to bring down the old order are also necessary to begin the process of creating a different human being. But this is only the starting point. Socialism will be created by people emerging from a system that stunted and suppressed their human potential. Only over a long transition period will a new generation of people be raised who are free from these old constraints. "What we have to deal with here," wrote Marx, quote, "is a communist society not as it has developed on its own foundations, but, on the contrary, just as it emerges from capitalist society, which is thus, in every respect, economically, morally, and intellectually, still stamped with the birthmarks of the old society from whose womb it emerges." End quote. Hence, we cannot immediately leap straight into a completely communist society. There must be a transition period in which the old is dissolved, broken apart, and reshaped, and new social relations and habits of intercourse gradually emerge. Quote, "Between capitalist and communist society, there lies the period of the revolutionary transformation of the one into the other," wrote Marx. Quote, "Corresponding to this is also a political transition period in which the state can be nothing but the revolutionary dictatorship of the proletariat." End quote. So the first premise of socialism is that the workers are in control and are therefore in a position of power from which they can start to reshape society. The aim of socialism is to do away with all class distinctions and create a society whereby the state, an instrument of class domination, gradually fades away. As Engels wrote, quote, "The proletariat seizes the public power and by means of this transforms the socialized means of production, slipping from the hands of the bourgeoisie, into public property." End quote. Having gained power, the working class then uses that power, first to ensure that the old order cannot gain a foothold again. Though this new worker state represents the use of the majority, it must still use coercion, where necessary, to suppress those who would use violence to attempt to restore the old exploitative relations in society. Second, the new worker state must begin implementing a series of reforms that, step by step, abolish profit and the market, and replace it with conscious, democratic planning. Quote, the proletariat will use its political supremacy to wrest, by degree, all capital from the bourgeoisie, Marx and Engels wrote in the manifesto. Long quote. To centralize all instruments of production in the hands of the state, i.e., of the proletariat organized as the ruling class, and to increase the total productive forces as rapidly as possible. Of course, in the beginning, this cannot be effected except by means of despotic inroads on the rights of property, and on the conditions of bourgeois production. By means of measures, therefore, which appear economically insufficient and untenable, but which, in the course of the movement, outstrip themselves, necessitate further inroads upon the old social order, and are unavoidable as a means of entirely revolutionizing the mode of production. End quote. Some of these measures might include introducing a progressive income tax against the rich, establishing free education at all levels, abolishing advertising and all other wasteful and costly diversions, with the use of these funds going towards health, education, and artistic needs, instituting free abortion on demand and free childcare provisions, confiscating all empty houses and mansions of capitalist developers and the rich in order to house the poor and homeless, immediately reducing the workday and providing jobs for the unemployed, creating a community police force based on a rotating, elected basis. The market and money cannot be done away with at one stroke. But the worker state can nationalize the banks and place them under workers' control, and redirect funds into much-needed state projects, like building a better public transportation system. Money can be transformed from a means of profit-making into a means of accounting for what is produced and how it is distributed. The associated producers, organized into a democratic system of councils, can reorganize production and distribution according to a rational plan that meets human need. Although inequality cannot be abolished all at once, a number of measures could be implemented to uproot it. Special organizations could be created to wipe out prejudice in the education system, and various affirmative action programs could be stepped up on a qualitatively more intensive level to provide opportunities for education and equal participation in society for all, regardless of race, nationality, sex, or language. Education could be provided in all languages, and could be designed to allow individuals to switch jobs, moving from intellectual to manual work with ease. At first, workers may need to exercise joint control over technicians, engineers, and planners, some, but not all, of whom may still hanker for the privileges they received under capitalism. But the extensive reorganization of education and the production process would give everyone the opportunity to pursue a variety of jobs, gradually weakening the barrier between mental and manual labor, and providing an environment in which the full potential of every individual was given the means to develop. Committees of workers and technicians would begin to re-engineer production so that everything was produced to last and with the best materials. Productivity has advanced to the point that the workday could be reduced to 3 or 4 hours. In a socialist society, improvements in labor productivity would be a means to shorten the workday to a minimum in order to free people up as much as possible to devote their energies to other pursuits, including participating in the running of society. Moreover, since workers would own and control the labor process, as well as its results, work would no longer have the sense of emptiness it possesses today. Instead of workers dreaming of Fridays and working only in order to receive a paycheck, work would be a source of fulfillment. The mad intensity of work today, whose pace is a mental health issue for millions, will be humanized in a society where workers control the nature and pace of work collectively. When the resistance of the old ruling classes is gone, so too is the need for the state. With the abolition of class distinctions comes what Engels called, quote, the withering away of the state. Since the state is an instrument for the enforcement of class oppression, the dissolution of class divisions render the state obsolete. The coercive apparatus of state repression disappears, leaving only purely administrative tasks such as the postal service, transportation, or maintaining the power grid. What replaces the state is the free association of people, communism. Society is administered according to a plan, but there is no need for organized coercion, because everyone gives what they can and takes what they need. Society might freely choose or pick volunteers to handle small-scale threats of violence, for example, from deranged individuals, or to defuse drunken brawls. But because society is not divided into classes, this coercion would be incidental rather than systematic, and could be handled without the need for, quote, special bodies of armed people. Only in such a consciously and democratically planned and administered society can the potentialities slumbering in the millions of people, now oppressed and stunted by capitalism, have a chance to flourish. In this higher phase of communist society, wrote Marx, quote, after the enslaving subordination of the individual to the division of labor, and therewith also the antithesis between mental and physical labor, has vanished. After labor has become not only a means of life, but life's prime want. After the productive forces have also increased with the all-round development of the individual, and all the springs of cooperative wealth flow more abundantly. Only then can the narrow horizon of bourgeois right be crossed in its entirety, and society inscribe on its banners, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. End this section.